I like to start my talks with a very brief little meditation because I feel like, stuff happens, mornings happen, things happen. If you drove here, maybe something, I don't know, whatever. So I like us to just kind of take a deep breath, and I try to tailor the meditations toward the discussion for the day. So let's start with just taking an inhale and then exhaling. Let's close our eyes if you feel comfortable with that. If you feel comfortable. If not, that's fine. Whatever level of just relaxing and settling feels okay to you, that's good. I'm going to invite us to start by imagining ourselves on a beach, because it's summertime, and I've known some people who are able to go to the beach, but I know many of us can't go to the beach right now, and that's okay. We'll go there in our heads, it's fine. This beach is gorgeous. It's whatever beach is perfect to you, and maybe that is a Caribbean white sand beach, maybe it is a rocky Atlantic New England coast. Maybe it's the San Francisco Bay with the Golden Gate Bridge in the distance. Whatever the beach is to you, we're there and we're walking on it. Feels great. The sand is nice beneath our feet. The air is warm. And I'd like us to picture a ship. And I don't care about physics, this ship can fit in the dock in the area we're at. And I'd like us, we're gonna just go on this ship. And, it's steady, it's still, no worries about seasickness or anything of that sort. It's just there and it's open and we're welcomed onto the ship. And the ship has two rooms. And these rooms represent anything we could ever possibly want or need. We're going to walk into the first room and we look around, and it is full of so many physical riches. Piles of gold, beautiful, precious gems. The glitter of sapphires, as deep blue as the water outside. Emeralds like the trees of a forest. Ruby red. All that we could want or need or desire in the form of money or physical riches is here in this room. We admire it. We're in awe of how much is here and available. It's like something from a fairy tale or Aladdin when he goes into the cave and he finds all the riches there with the genie. We admire. If you want to touch things, that's fine. Feel the cool of the gold or silver beneath your hand. The shape of the cut diamonds. Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. We're allowed to touch anything. And after we spend a little time here, we're going to walk into the next room. And the next room is more spiritual. Less physical. It looks like a sunset or a sunrise, whichever you more connect with. The colors, soft pastel, peach, sweet pea pink, gentle lavender. It's like you're walking in the clouds, completely safe. Completely blessed. And in this space, there's a book. And we open the book, and the book looks like whatever you want it to look like. If it looks like your favorite book, if it looks like the Bible, if it looks like an old tome or ledger from an ancient library, that's fine. And in the book is a list of things like friendship, love, joy, peace, health, in the most beautiful handwritten script. And next to it, there's a little box and it says, check out? Order? And you can take a pen, the most beautiful pen, a fountain pen, quill, your favorite pen from the local bank, whatever pen it is, and you can mark what you want. And we savor this. We look, and the pages, even though it looks limited, we keep turning and turning and turning, and they're endless. There is no limit to what we can order. We can order as much friendship as we want. We can order as much health as we so desire. We just keep flipping those pages, and we can choose, choose, choose until the end of our physical journey. And that's pretty amazing. And I'd like us to savor this moment and remember and feel how joyous this is. Wow, we have these two rooms available to us. That's pretty awesome. And of course, we give thanks to this space and this time, and then we decide that we're going to walk back to the entrance of the ship, leave the ship, say thank you. What an experience that was to see and learn. We're going to go back on the beach and take an inhale with me and then let it go in an exhale. And we're going to open our eyes now, gentle, slow. Whatever speed works for you, that's fine. Whatever feels good, that's fine. And even though we aren't on that ship anymore, at least physically, I want us to remember that that ship is always available to us. Those two rooms, that book, those piles of riches, always available to us. And that is how Holmes opens this chapter. And so I'm going to start it with, I don't want to say like a rehashing of the law, because that's kind of a negative connotation, but let's reacquaint ourselves. Let's re-inspire ourselves. What is the law of life? What is the law of the universe and mind? It is that spirit is boundless. Spirit is endless. Spirit has everything we could ever desire. And spirit will give it to us. And that can be a strange kind of concept for those of us, you know, for whatever reason, we've chosen to be in these 3D bodies. And let's face it, we're raised, we're taught that there's limits when we grow up. And, you know, that there's lack. And so that's an interesting concept. That spirit, that universe, that God, whatever you'd like to call it, is utterly limitless. But it's pretty darn cool when you think about it, too. So Holmes says the first thing to do is like, get that in your head. And reorient and inspire yourself to realize that there is no limit whatsoever. That nature is bountiful. And then the next step he talks about is realizing, and this can be a tricky one too, that you create your life. He uses the term specifically responsibility. And that can scare some people. I know my mom, we always tease. She's like, oh, responsibility makes me nervous. Like, it's a lot to be in charge of your life. And to realize that you are drawing towards you what you choose. That can be a tricky thing to realize. And the fact of the matter is, the law of life, it is boundless and it is beautiful and it is endless. But it doesn't judge and it doesn't Oh, somebody might need to mute themselves.
I apologize.
Oh, it's okay, Connie. It's all good. I was like, I hear my echo. Nope. Do we want to take a second? Okay, it's all good, it's all good. We had some echoes there, we're fine. We realize that life and spirit is endless and giving, but it doesn't judge. And it doesn't, decide whether or not we get something. Right? Okay, so the way I saw this described by someone who gave a talk on YouTube is that it's like any other law, right? So the law of gravity. If you walk to the edge of a cliff and you step off, whether you are a saint or whether you are a horrible person, you're gonna fall. And that's that. So this law of spirit, this law of mind, what you ask for, whether it's good or bad, whether you're a good person or you feel like you're owed some good karma, or whether you feel like you've been a jerk and you don't deserve good things, you're going to get what you ask for. Okay? There's no, the law's judging you. You know, you're going to get what you put your attention toward. And what you think about, you bring about. That's what I heard it said as and introduced to me as when I watched The Secret when I was 14 in 2007. What you think about, you bring about. What you focus on will come to you. And I like to, I just remind myself sometimes of the fact that our brains and our energy is so powerful. An example of this is in The Secret. They talk about a study that was done. I don't remember who did the study, but they took a bunch of expert, master athletes, and they sat them down and they hooked them up to a machine and they said, all right, imagine in your brain that you're running your race or that you're doing your gymnastics routine. And just in their head, the same amount of energy and brain areas fired as if they were running it in the physical world. And so that's the level of energy and power we have when we direct our thoughts. So what we put that level of energy and thought toward is going to activate law and going to bring us what we want or what we don't want, let's be real. And those, like, that's how Holmes starts the chapter, man. That's a come and bang out, you know? So that takes a couple minutes to sort of think about. And I remember it was like a half a page or like two paragraphs, and he packs all that in, and I'm like, all right, okay, well, we're going to take a deep breath now. But then he talks about sort of step three, which is like, all right, we know all this, we've digested this, we've acknowledged this. What do we do? Like, how do we do this process? He uses the metaphor of a garden. I love that. Now, I personally love plants. Fantastic, great, beautiful stuff. I can't really keep him alive, but my roommate has the most beautiful garden on our back porch. She has tomatoes, she has herbs, she has flowers. It's beautiful, and she takes such good care of it. So Holmes says, okay, well, what do you do when you plant a garden? Well, what did my roommate do? She decided, I want tomatoes. She went out to the store. She decided. She got tomato seeds. And she planted the seeds in the garden. So step one, figure out what the heck you want. That is the hardest part. Because, again, we live in 2020, where we can press a button and we can get shoes delivered to us in 24 hours. We have this culture of instantaneous fulfillment, almost. Like, okay, I admit it, I'm a millennial. The other night, I'm like browsing Instagram, and it took 2 seconds longer to load a page. And I was like, come on, what's wrong with the Wi-Fi? Like, you know, we have this culture of we can get so much right away. So what do we really want? And I feel like a lot of us don't really sit down and think about that. So I invite you, as one of the first steps, make a list. 1 to 5 things. Just stuff you want. And if it's a Ferrari, Awesome. I'm so glad you want a Ferrari. You know, choose some other stuff too. Go for it. Holmes uses the term, the universe is a storehouse. Anything we could want. Remember that ship? Any riches, anything in that book, you can order it. It's like a magazine, right? Magazine. God, it's like giant Amazon of the universe. I don't know, man. I'm trying to be more recent here. And so we choose what we want. So make a list and then decide, all right, that's the seed I've chosen. I want to plant this now. So this is an interesting concept here. And I thought about how I wanted to illustrate it for a little bit. And I had like one metaphor and I didn't like that much. So I'm going with this one. We plant a seed. And the backbone of this chapter is the truth that God's way, the universe's way, the universe's and God's path is the right way, the good way, and will happen. There is a beauty and a power at the backbone of the universe that in this form we will not ever fully understand, but we know it's there. Dr. Joseph Murphy, I always name drop him because he's my favorite New Thought author, changed my life. He talks about how when you plant a seed, you don't know what's going on in that little seed. You can't dig into it and see with the microscope, without killing it or whatever. So you put it in there and you have faith that something's gonna happen because it just does, innately and without struggle. A tree is formed. An apple tree, a peach tree. It's formed. And that's beautiful. That's beautiful. But here's the thing. You have to foster the right atmosphere for that seed to grow. You know? You put a seed, okay, I could throw a seed out in the backyard and if it's like a tomato plant. And I don't do anything, and maybe something will come up, but it sure helps a lot more if I choose the right soil, the right sized pot, if I put it in the right amount of sunshine, if I gently pat it in and talk nice to it, because we all believe in energy here, and talking nice to plants helps, and if I water it. So we have to take the same attitude with our own manifestations and our own desires and our own riches that we've chosen. Yes, absolutely. God has the reins. The universe has the reins. Is in control. But let's make this the nicest atmosphere we can so that it's streamlined, baby. Like, let's have this manifest as easily and smoothly as possible. How do we do this? Well, Holmes talks about. I think he specifically uses the term, your meditations, when you choose the words. And literally for me, and like this could look different for anybody, but for me, this literally looks like twice a day for 5 minutes a day. I choose the affirmation I want, and I just repeat it with remember how I mentioned that energy of that study they did with the athletes? I take that same level of like energy and focus, and I say it, and I put it into my words, and I feel it. And I take 5 to 10 minutes twice a day. And then guess what I do? I stand up, let it go. I've done my part. I've started to change my mindset. I've started to accept the fact that that's going to come into my life. I've prepped the space, the dirt, the earth, the soil. And then what do? You walk away from the garden and you let nature and God do its beauty. Right? So that's the process that Holmes talks about. And let's be real, life happens. Storms come, knock over my roommate's tomato plant, and she had to alter some plans. She had to cut a little bit off and bring it inside. Things happen. We have to adjust sometimes. That's okay. Because at the core, you will be guided to the right path, the right action. And this is where Holmes starts talking about taking right action. And, you know, initially I was like, you know, you might be saying, well, again, Kaylee, that sounds kind of hypocritical. We just said let God take over. But then I go back, I reiterate the fact that we have to do our part making the atmosphere and the soil as beneficial as possible. And again, let's be logical here. We live in a 3D world. Sometimes we have to take 3D actions. And examples of this are, you know, I always hear when I'm, you know, when I study the law of attraction or people talk about it, they're like, okay, you want a new job? Did you submit any resumes? No. Well, you know, okay, maybe you'll meet someone in a coffee shop and they'll offer you a job. Maybe. Awesome. But isn't it a lot cooler to think that you might be streamlining and making the process a lot faster and easier if you put out some resumes? Just a thought, you know? Isn't it kind of a cool idea that you might make those tomatoes grow a little bit quicker if you put some extra good soil and some kind of fertilizer in there? Maybe. And Holmes drives home the point that it has to be joyous action, right? You have to be like, all right, this is the decision, the choice, the action that I want to take that I'm going to take. Now, this is a thing, okay? There's a difference between joyous and totally always feeling good action. And I've used this example before, but if you haven't heard it, when I was 14, again, right after I'd manifested I fixed my tooth or something. I just heard The Secret, super into it. And I was 14 and I had the biggest crush on this guy. And I said, okay, I'm going to manifest dating him. And I did everything, y'all. I scripted. I had a journal. I affirmed every day after school. And it did not happen. In fact, I think he got interested in another girl. And I was like, oh my God, the universe just totally didn't do this. It didn't happen. And it wasn't until, I think, like 6 months later, I found out that he was, unfortunately, even at that young age, getting very involved in drugs and things that would have been extremely hurtful and bad to me, who I am as a person. And, you know, at that point, I was like, all right. And I didn't realize this until later in life, really, but I got over him, quote unquote. And I got closer with my other best friends and sort of realized I fell in love with somebody else, and as in love as you can be at 14. But it felt like it. And so that's an example. Like, I was pretty crushed by not getting my crush, you know? But that's so. But I realized, and I had this feeling within me that, like, just let it go, Kaylee. Like, you just gotta let it go. And I did. And I went with the flow and I moved on. And I was better for it. So that action might not always feel the best. And at the moment in time, you might be like, oh my God, there's something blocking my good here. But here's the thing. I thought about also how I wanted to use the metaphor for this. And I think I've used something similar before. Each and every one of us is a beautiful, beautiful snowflake. Scientists have said no snowflake is the same. Literally, you put each one under the microscope and there's something different. So each of us is a beautiful snowflake. But we all come from one giant snow cloud. We're all a part of that, but there is this giant, stronger, more kind of all-seeing energy and entity that we come from, the backbone, the universe. And sometimes that big old snow cloud sees stuff that we don't see as tiny little snowflakes. And sometimes that snow cloud says, hey, we're going to alter the winds a little bit and make you land somewhere else. And ultimately, you'll get something that's for your highest and greatest good because spirit and universe only has love and your highest and greatest good to give. It just might not completely align up with what you originally asked for. And we have to learn that that's okay. That the path and the action that we will be called to is the one for our highest and greatest good, and is the one that is most beneficial to us. And that takes a lot of faith, and that takes a lot of trust. And Holmes talks about it, faith and works. Faith and works, to use that term from, you know, the Christian Bible. Faith is nothing without works. We'll feel inspired to take action. Sometimes the action's gonna feel super awesome. Sometimes it might feel kind of crappy, but we move through. We follow our guidance. We keep up with our our affirmations, our prayers, our scientific prayers. And it's a level of faith that takes practice to get to. And we have to strive for it. And that can be tricky. I'm going to sit here and admit that sometimes it's like it feels kind of crappy, and you have to just keep on with it and keep on those meditations. Sometimes your list of desires might change. I know that when I first started this journey, I had very physical manifestations. You know, oh, go on a date with my crush, fix my tooth. And now it's more, you know, just to use an example from my personal life, the past 2 years I've been working more on self-image and self-esteem. And so I went to therapy for a solid year because I really felt like I need to take this action for therapy. And it was amazing. And then I felt like, you know, I wasn't getting the benefit as much anymore. And actually my therapist said, I don't really feel like we're getting the benefit anymore. So it was like a sign from the universe. And so now I'm just doing my daily affirmations, and that feels good. So your desires may change a little bit, and that's okay. And this leads into a point I did want to make, because it's something that's always stuck with me. I was raised in a very religious home, and Dr. Joseph Murphy talks about it too, because he was blessed to be able to study in Tibet and India and many places. And he said there are people who believe that desire is the root of all evil, that it's inherently bad. And he says, this kind of made me think for a little bit, because, well, then why do we desire? And the way he described it, and it's always stuck with me, is that desire is not bad. Desire is an expansion. As long as your desire doesn't hurt anyone, it's a good thing. And because we are all expressions of God, God is being made physical through us, acting through us. So why is desire bad? That's just God further desiring to express itself. Desires are a good thing. Desires are a reminder that we are an ever-expanding spirit, that we're a part of this boundless spirit and universe in God. That's pretty awesome. So desire's not a bad thing. And, you know, some religions consider it like, a spirit possessed you and you're acting through the spirit. Well, you know, the one good spirit's possessing you in a way, and we're taking action through what we feel inspired to desire and take action toward. And I thought about how I kind of want to end this talk, and I had two sort of pieces of advice that came to me and that came from Holmes. And so the one is, always be aware that there are creative forces all around you. And I know that when I first started this journey, I very much had like, oh my gosh, I just wanted a thing to manifest in one specific way. And as you go along in life, you realize that there are quite a few different ways things can manifest. There is so much potential around us every single day. Holy moly, that energy and that power can manifest in a myriad of different ways. So, hi Lavanya. So you can realize that there's so much creativity around you, and breathe that in and find peace in it, and know that somehow, some way, because God is perfect, because God is the easiest, you know, most streamlined way, God will find a way to manifest what is best for you. It will happen. Just keep up with your scientific prayers, your focus, and being open and breathing. And reminding yourself that there's only bounty. And then the next thing that Holmes suggests is be reasonable. And I love that. Because, like, so often when I tell people, like, I practice new thought and divine science, they're like, oh my god, that's hokey. Like, that's all like, woohoo, life is perfect. No, it's not. And we acknowledge that. And Holmes says, look, you acknowledge it. And I've tried to introduce this concept to my family, and it doesn't go over well, and that's okay, because they're just not in that part in their journey. But my grandma in particular always teases me, and she's like, so what? I imagine that I want to manifest a Mustang, and I'm going to go home, and it's going to be in my parking spot? No, that's not how this works. We're still bound by 3D physical laws, first of all, in this existence. And also, Start with things that are smaller, maybe. You know, if you want a Maserati, fantastic, great, again, go for it. But we have to build up our belief. And I think when I first started, I think I like manifested like a parking space. I didn't drive, but I was like, my mom's gonna get a good parking space. And like a rock or something. And I remember in the book, The Secret, they talk about a gentleman was like, I'm gonna manifest the most gorgeous blue and green feather. And so he saw this blue and green feather, and he's like, there was no doubt in my head that I manifested that. So you can start with small things and just build up your belief and your muscle. It's like when martial artists, they do the thing where they punch through concrete. They say what that is they just do it more and more, and it breaks bones in their hand, and it grows back stronger. So what you do is you start your small desires, and those successes build up and build up and build up until you can punch through concrete. So those are those two little pieces of advice I thought were really great. You know, but at the core, the message for this chapter for me was peace. That there is something so boundless and beautiful that is ever and always present and growing and living. And I think of this in terms of Dr. Joseph Murphy uses a quote. He says, there's enough food and fruit in the tropics every day that rots to feed the whole world. Nature is boundless. People will tell you there's lack. There's lack in the form of how it's distributed. But there's no lack in the universe. And I think of this because at my old job, I used to go for walks in the parking lot on my lunch break. And at the edges of the asphalt, at the edges of the street, there'd be wild honeysuckle bushes that were just boundless and gorgeous, that would grow and grow and grow, and were so green and beautiful, and so fragrant and gorgeous. And that reminds me of just how beautiful spirit is, and God is, and how luscious and how willing it is to bless us, if we only so choose. And select the seed and plant it and have faith and trust. But at the core, we should have nothing but peace and confidence, because there is that eternal beauty, eternal bounty, eternal availability to us. And I think that's pretty awesome. And we see it everywhere if we so choose to see it, whether it's in a honeysuckle bush or lunch with a friend, or a windfall where we can pay our bills early this month. And that's awesome. And I give thanks. So it is. Thanks, everybody. Thanks. Thank you. Hope it felt good. Hope it felt good.
You are so inspiring to me.
Thanks.
That was awesome.